The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Nosei.
From the subjects that are dealt with in Parshas Nosei is the subject of the Nozer, the Nazarite. The Torah tells us in Bamidbar, Vav, Pasuk Aleph,
Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. And Hashem said to Moshe saying, Taber el bnei Yisrael v'amat aleihem, Ish o ishok yafli lindo ned nozer lahazel Hashem.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, a man or a woman who will make a vow to be a Nozer to Hashem. Nozer means, Rashi brings, a nozer nizir bechol mokam el prisho afkan shepirish min ayin, to abstain. If a man or a woman will make a vow to become a nozer, to abstain
for Hashem from yain, from wine. We see that this parsha is relevant to a man or a woman. Yain v'sheicher yazer, then he's not allowed to drink wine. Yain yesheicher means new wine or old wine, new wine that's not intoxicating or old wine that is. Or he's not allowed either even to drink the vinegar of the wine.
And any mixture that has wine in it is not allowed, that has grapes in it, that have grapes in it, is not allowed to drink. And he's not allowed to eat fresh grapes or dried grapes. Kol yomei nizrei mikol asher yeosem migefen hayayin mecharzanim vadzog lo yechal.
All the days of his, that he's a nozer, anything which comes from the vine he's not allowed to eat. Mecharzanim, from the pits, this vadzog, or from the husks, lo yechal. Kol yomei neder nizrei tar lo yavar areshei. He's not allowed to cut his hair until he finishes the days which he undertook. His hair shall be sanctified. During the time of his Naziris, he's not allowed to come into contact with any dead person, even a father or mother or brother or sister, he's not allowed to make himself impure by coming in contact with them. Because he is sanctified to Hashem. All of the days of his Naziris, he is sanctified to Hashem. Then the Torah tells us what happens if he does, by accident, come into contact with the dead. Then he has to bring special korbanos, special sacrifices. And then he has to start over. Bahar yomim arishanim yiplu kitom in Israel, the first days that he kept he loses and he has to start to count over. Usually a nozer is for 30 days. But if he wants to accept more, he may accept more than 30 days. And then the Torah tells us, what happens when he finishes his days? He brings sacrifices again, and vigilach hanozer, and he shaves off his hair, all of his hair. And then bacha yishtar hanozer yain, and then he's allowed to drink wine.
So this is the parsha of the nozer. Some of the points that we see from this parsha, from what we've read, is basically there are five halachos. First of all, he's not allowed to eat anything which comes from the vine. He's not allowed to cut his hair at all. He's not allowed to come into contact with anyone who's dead. Then he brings a sacrifice. In case he does become tomei, he brings sacrifices during the time, and he has to start counting over again. And five, at the end of his Yomei Nizirais, at the end of the days of his Nizirais, he brings sacrifices, And then this permits him, and he shaves off all of his hair, and then this permits him to return to normal life. This mitzvah is a mitzvah dafke bi Yisrael, the Gemara says, not by Akum, not by non-Jew, because it states Daber el b'nei Yisrael. You should speak to b'nei Yisrael. And this mitzvah is a mitzvah. These dinim are actually relevant today also. If someone would accept upon himself to become a nozir, he would become a nozir today. But he'd have a problem, because since today we cannot bring the korbanos, the sacrifices, so you would have to remain a nozir forever. Therefore, one must be very careful not to accept upon himself nazirus today. And as we mentioned, nozir means precious, abstinence. He abstains from drinking wine. The prohibition of wine, which is mentioned in the parsha, refers to anything which is a product of the grape. And only something which is a product of the grape. This means that if it's wine, he's not allowed to drink it, whether it's mishtaker or not mishtaker, whether it has the power to intoxicate or it does not have the power to intoxicate. On the other hand, if it's, therefore, that would include both new wine and old wine. Or, like we see, it even includes the grape itself. On the other hand, shar mashkin mishtakrin, for him to drink beer or whiskeys, that would be permissible, because it only takes effect on wine itself. Not long ago, in Parshas, I believe it was in Parshas Shmini, we had just the converse. There's a halacha, a law, that a kohen cannot go into the Beis Hamikdash to eat yain after he has drunk wine. He cannot do the aveda. The emphasis is on an intoxicating drink. Therefore, yain, the sheikhar that the Torah refers to there, refers to wine which is mishtaker, dafke, only wine which intoxicates, and refers to other drinks which intoxicates also. But a new wine would not be inclusive in that prohibition, or other products of the grape that would not be inclusive in that prohibition. So here, the emphasis is on wine or any product of the grape. We see that the Torah here added a harchoka on his harchoka. He made for himself an extra precaution. He made for himself an extra abstinence, where he wanted to abstain even from wine that the Torah permitted. And the Torah adds even to that, because the Torah said, not only wine that intoxicates, but even wine, new wine that does not intoxicate, and even the grape, and even the husks, and even any mixture. So here we see that the Torah added a harchoka, a precautionary degree, dimension, to his precautions. We have in the first Mishnah in Masechta Avos, or the second Mishnah, it's actually the first, where it states asusia glotora, that you should make a fence around the Torah. You should make a precaution, harchoka, a precaution around the Torah. So the Vilna Gaon in his Pirish, in his commentary, brings there that three places in the Torah do we find that the Torah itself made precautions. And one of the places is here. That here he went and he asked, he forbade upon himself wine, and the Torah added an extra dimension to that, where any product of wine or anything that has relationships to wine, to the vine, he's not allowed to eat. So this is a source where the Torah added a precaution to the actual halacha. Now the essence of this parsha of Nezirus is we see where a person assumes upon himself a prishus yisero, an extra dimension of abstinence, an extra dimension of discipline, self-control, extra precautions. That's A, but even what the Torah did not forbid, he assumes upon himself. And B, he does this through nedori, through vows. Because Nezirus is a vow, as it says, ki lindo neder. It is in the inclusive, in the nedori, in the vows. So he strengthens that with a vow in order to make sure that he won't transgress it. Now these two principles, let's go into. And the concept that a person must discipline himself, a person must have self-control, he must hold back, he must abstain. This is a concept, a principle which is very important to life. We know that a person can be wild, cannot do everything that he wants to do. There are many times that it calls for self-control. Now man was created with a right hand and a left hand. And Chazal tell us that the right hand, that is symbolic of doing something. The left hand is symbolic of control, holding back. The right hand represents your mitzvahs aseis, your positive commandments, to do good things. The left hand, that's aseh tov. The left hand represents sur meira, that we have to move back and remove ourselves, distance ourselves from something which is not good, from something which is harmful, from something which can damage us, either physically or spiritually. The power of the right hand is stronger than the power of the left hand. And that's the Loshon HaChazal, the expression in the Chazal, have a yamin mekarvei usmol matcheu. Which you should bring close with your right hand, and you should push away with your left hand. In other words, that the power to do, the power to bring close, there should be greater emphasis and more effort than the power to push away, to distance oneself. But nevertheless, both are necessary. It states that the motivation to do, what motivates a person to do, is a love, a desire for something. This motivates him to do. If he has a love and a desire for something good, he will do what's good. And he will do it with an enthusiasm. Ava maybe lides rizus. Love brings to enthusiasm. And on the other hand, to a precautionary measure, to be careful, to distance oneself from, the motivation of that is yira, fear. A child doesn't have fear from something, so he gets himself into trouble. But a person that he fears something, so he disciplines himself. He takes precaution. And a yira maybe lidei zihirus. Fear brings a person to carefulness, to self-control, to discipline. And these are your mitzvahs aseis and your mitzvahs leish aseis, your positive commandments and your negative commandments. The positive commandments are kum vaaseh, go and do. And the negative commandments are shev al taaseh, don't do, stay away.
Like the Torah says, we'll give you a mitzvah to do chesed, do good, or fulfill yantif, or eat matzah. That's to go and do. And the negative commandment is not to do. You shouldn't eat what you're not allowed to eat, or you shouldn't harm someone else, or you shouldn't steal someone else's money. It's interesting to note that the Chazal tell us that of the Tariyag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs, there are Shin Samachay, 365 negative commandments, and Resh Mem Ches, 248 positive commandments. Now the Resh Mem Ches, 248 positive commandments, correlate with 248 different parts, organs, and parts of the body. Why? Because there is a mitzvah which correlates with every particular aspect of the body. There is an individual mitzvah which is linked to every individual part of the body. David HaMelech wrote, Kol Atzmeisei Tomarno, that I will praise Hashem, I will say the praises of Hashem, with Kol Atzmeisei, with my entire physical makeup. And that means that there's a part of the body, every part of the body, which you can fulfill another mitzvah with. So that is to go and do. Then there are Shin Samachay, 365 negative mitzvahs, which means you should not do. And that correlates with the days of the year. 365 days of the Yemei HaChama, of the solar year. What does it have to do with the solar year? The Maral says, because the sun, he is the king, the Mora Godel. Kodesh Baruch Hu placed the sun as the king, as the ruler of the physical world. What is the duty of the king? The duty of the king is is to see that everything remains in perfect order. See that his society is in order. And that's what the sun does. The sun calls the entire system into order and does not allow any part of the world to be deviate from its given order. And the sun has a mahalach, the sun has a route to take of 365 days. And after 365 days, the cycle is complete and it begins again. And in this cycle, the sun holds everything in perfect order. The whole solar system works in perfect order within this cycle. Now that represents a perfect structured, a perfect discipline structure, where nothing deviates from it. Perfect self-control, perfect shmira, where it's totally under a guardianship. And that's the power in a man that he is supposed to inspire in himself, where he is under total guardianship. And those are the 365 mitzvahs leisah says, that he's supposed to guard himself from, the negative commandments, not doing what the Torah commanded him not to do. And this is a structure, a discipline, in which he remains in perfect order. So here we're speaking of this abstinence, this discipline, precautions. If a man does not have, lives without any precaution, without any discipline, then he becomes totally unguarded, he becomes wild. There's a pasuk that Ir Pera Yevoled Odom, that a man is born like a wild young donkey that's capable of doing anything, but he has to develop in himself this perfect shmira, this discipline. So here in this parsha of Nozir we see an exercise of this discipline. However, we see something more. This is an exercise of a discipline, of an abstinence of something or on something that even the Torah has not forbade. And we could ask, We understand that the Torah, in many places, told us that we must not eat from this, we must not drink from this, we must not do this, because this is something that was not good for us. It's physically not good for us, or it's spiritually not good for us, or emotionally not good for us. But the Nozir, he's undertaking not to drink any wine. Wine the Torah didn't forbid. Wine the Torah did not forbid upon people. So it comes out that the Nozir is being Eiser al Atzmai Mashiit Hira Torah. He's forbidding upon himself what the Torah permitted. So it's true, this is a discipline, a self-discipline. This is an abstinence, but this is a prisha yuthera. This is an extra dimension of discipline, an extra dimension of abstinence that we find that the Torah did not even demand from us. So what does this mean? And why should a person do this? Or why should this be something which is condoned? And this, the Gemara goes into. That the Gemara is in in the Dorin Daf Tes, and in Ozid Daf Gimel and Dalet, and in Tainus Daf Yud Aleph. And the Machlek is in the Gemara. If what the Nozir is doing is correct or not correct because of this reason. First of all, the Gemara brings a story. Gemara brings an Aftes on the days in the Dorim. The San Yomer Omer Shimon HaTzadik. One of the Tanoim, the early Tanoim of the Mishnah, was Shimon HaTzadik, Shimon the Righteous, and he was a Kohen. Miyomai le'achalti Hashem Nozir Tomei ele Echod. He said that whenever a Nozir would be a Nozir, and he would become Tomei. He would accidentally come into contact with a dead person, and then he would have to bring his sacrifice, Korbonis Tomei, Tuma. He would have to bring his sacrifices because he became Tomei. So he, as a Kohen, would never eat from them. He says, I never wanted to eat from them. Because he held that the Naziris was not the way it should have been. Elapam Echot. Pamachas, except once. Bodom echod nozir min adorim. A nozir came from the south. Very isov shehu yafai inayim, and I saw that he had very beautiful eyes. V'teiv rei, he was very, very handsome. Uktseisov zduris leitaltalim, beautiful, beautiful hair, curls. And he was a nozir. And now that he has become a nozir, he's going to have to shave off all of this beautiful hair. Omati Lai, so I said to him, Bini Maru Isalahash, he says, Sarich Zeh Hanoe. He said, my son, why have you decided to become a Nozir and destroy all of your beautiful hair? So he said, Omar Li, he said to me, Reyeho Yisila Abo Biiri, I was a shepherd for my father in our city, my city, Holachti Lamalis Maimina Mayun. And one day I went to fill up water from the spring. Niskalti bevuashali, and I looked at and I saw my reflection in the water. Upochazala yitzri, ubikesh literadni mina olam. And as I looked at my reflection and I saw how handsome I was, how beautiful I was, the Yetzahara grabbed me. I started to think thoughts of arrogance. I became very arrogant with my beauty. And I felt myself falling into the hands of the Yetzirah. And finally I took a hold of myself and I said to myself, Rosho. He called himself a Rosho. Lomato mizgoya be'olam she'ena shelcho. Why do you become arrogant
in a world which is not yours. B'mish shuhu osid v'yais rima v'teilo. In a world where the eventuality is, you will turn back into the earth and go into the earth and become rotten with worms. And a havoda, and at that time I took a shvua, I took a vow, she'agalchecho l'shamay, that I will shave off all of my hair for the sake of heaven. This is what he told Shimon HaTzadik. Miyad amarati v'neshaktiv al reishay, amarati le bini kemecha yir b'nezer in Aziris b'Yisrael. Immediately he says, I stood up and I kissed him and I said, my son, there should be more Nazirites, more Nazirites like you in Israel. Olecha akosav emer ish ki yafli lindo neder nozel azel Hashem. This is what the Torah said when it states that a person who makes a vow to become a nozer to Hashem. So the Gemara explains that Shimon HaTzadik never wanted to go near the korbonos, the sacrifices of the Nazirim, especially those that became tomei, because he held that it wasn't a good Nazirus. Because he held most people that become Nazirim are not becoming Nazirim for Hashem. They have other cheshbonos. They have other calculations. And the Gemara explains, why did he say he never ate a korban which was from a nozer tomei? He says his emphasis was on a nozer tomei, because he said they would even have charota later on, they would have remorse later on. Because what happens if you become tomei? Then the days that you started to count fell away. Let's say you accept upon yourself 30 days, 60 days. So if you become tomei and if you become impure in the middle, then the days you counted fall away and you have to start again. So it becomes too heavy after a while. And they start to have remorse that they should have never accepted it, and so forth and so on. And he says, that's not Naziris. He says, that's not what the Torah is talking about. Why? How do we know? Because it says, Ishki Yafli Lindo Neder Nozel Ahazel Hashem. Someone who accepts upon himself to be a Nozer for the sake of Hashem, not for his own sake. And there are many that do all kind of things, and they want to do all kind of things, and they want to be things, but it's for their own sake, it's not for Hashem's sake. He says, that's not a Nozer. And he didn't want to have any of the coin, and they used to bring him the korbanos, the sacrifices he wouldn't eat from them. But he says, when he saw this young man, and he had this discussion with him, and he saw that this person was kula l'shamayim, that he did it for the sake of shamayim, he says, this time I ate. Pam achas, one time. This is one case the Gemara brings. So we see that in a facet, Shimon HaTzadik held that most Nazirim could be under the classification of chaitim. That instead of doing a mitzvah, they're doing a chait. They're doing a sin. Then the Gemara brings, now the Gemara brings in these sugyas which I mentioned, that some say that a nozer is kodesh. A nozer is sanctified. And the Torah says so. It says, Kodesh Yeh Gadol Pera. That the growth of his hair will be sanctified. And we see that when he's a Nozir, he has more kedusha, he has more sanctity than a Kohen. How do we see this? Because a Kohen, who has a special sanctity, is not allowed to come into contact with someone who's with a dead person, called Nafshis Meis, but his close family he can. His father, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, he can. By Nozer he cannot. And the Gemara says that what do we see from here? That a Nozer is more Kodesh than a Kohen. He's like a Kohen Godel, like a high priest. So the Gemara brings opinions that he's Kodesh. Then the Gemara here brings where it states, Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda said, Chasidim Arishenim hoi misavin lehovi kor mechates, lefi shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takol al yedehem. Rabbi Yehuda said that the Hasidim Rishonim, these were the ancient righteous people who were very, very righteous. He says they used to have a problem. They used to want to bring sacrifices. Now, many sacrifices you could bring as a nadova, as a contribution. But a korban chatas, which is a sin offering, this you could only bring if you committed a sin. And they never committed a sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would see that they wouldn't commit a sin even b'shegeg, even erroneously. And they wanted to have the opportunity of bringing a korban chatas, a sin offering. So what did they do? They would make themselves into nazirim in order that they should bring a korban chatas. One of the sacrifices that the nazir brings is a chatas. Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon says, Lei nodru benozir. They never did that. They would bring sacrifices that you could be menadev, that you could bring on your own. But a chatas, which only came if you committed a sin, or, for example, by a nozir, they would never become a nozir. Why? Because he says a nozir is mikre chayta. Because a nozir is called a chayta, as it states, v'chipa alav me'asher chota ala nefesh. That you should, the Torah says when he brings his sacrifices, he should atone from the hate which he did. There's a machlekes, there's a dispute as to what does it mean he should bring the sacrifice for the hate which he did. So some learn it refers to the fact that he made himself tome, impure. But here the Gemara is learning, Rabbi Shimon is learning, that it's even if he did not make himself impure, tome, he is still considered to be a chayta, someone who did a sin, from the fact that he forbade upon himself that what the Torah permitted. So Reb Shimon brings, Reb Shimon says, therefore they would never assume upon themselves nazirus, and they only brought the sacrifices which they were allowed to be manadev, to contribute. Omar Abayah. Nalabaya said, Shimon HaTzadik, Reb Shimon, Reb Lez HaKofer. These three Tanoim. Shimon HaTzadik, Reb Shimon, Reb Lez HaKofer, Kul and Shita Achasein. They all agree to one principle. The Nozir Heita Havi. They all agree to the principle that a Nozir is a Heita. He's a sinner. Shimon HaTzadik, we mentioned, because he held that most Naziris, he wouldn't come near their Korbons, he wouldn't come near their sacrifices. He held most of them were not L'Shem Shammai. That was Shimon HaTzadik. Reb Shimon, we also just mentioned, because he said that even the Hasidim Rishonim, that wanted opportunities to bring korbanei sacrifices, they would never make themselves into nazirim in order to become obligated in a korban chatas, because that itself was a sin to make yourself a nazir. And Reb Lez HaKofer. But where did Reb Lez HaKofer say? The Sanya Reb Lez HaKofer B'Rebi Eimer, V'chipa Alom Me'asher Chotel Al HaNefesh, that you should atone from the hate that you did. V'chi beize nefesh chota. How did a nozir sin? Ela shetzir atzmi min hayayin. His sin was is that he is he is abstaining and he is causing himself affliction from abstaining from wine. V'halei dvorim kal v'chemer. So the Gemara says, and he says, and it's a kal v'chemer. From here we can learn. If a nozir only abstains from wine, he only afflicts himself from abstaining from wine, and he's called a sinner, so someone who abstains from many things, how much more so? Accordingly, ayeshib betainis, what about someone who assumes fasts upon himself? Now he's abstaining from all food. So how much more so is he nikra chayta? How much more so is he called a chayta, a sinner? The Gemara in Tainus brings this also. And the Gemara adds to that. The Gemara in Tainus, the Gemara in Tainus and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara adds to that, Omer Reish Lakish, Ein Talmud Chochem Rishai Leishi B'Tainus. A Talmud Chochem does not have permission to assume upon himself extra fast days. Nei Shemamayit B'Melechus Shemayim. He'll have an additional sin, because through the extra fast days that he assumes upon himself, he won't be able to learn as well. So he'll have an additional sin of Bitul Torah, where he causes himself not to be able to learn. Now, from here we see that even though the Nozer, if he assumes such a prishu, such an abstinence, he all of these halochas, all of these laws take effect in him, and he does rise up to higher levels, like we see in the Torah. But nevertheless, we see there's a great reluctance. See, Shimon HaTzadik held that it has to be totally l'shem Shemayim. And if it's not, it's not a good Naziris. This was his reluctance. And others held, Reb Shimon and Reb Lez HaKofer held, that a person must not abstain from that which the Torah did not forbid him to. But he must partake from what the Torah gave him. And if he does, it's an Aveira. I said, why is he doing it then? He says, we'll see, there are times when perhaps it might be necessary. But we see only with great reluctance. Now, the one principle we see from here is that when we do something, we have to be very careful that it's l'shem Shemayim. And if it's something which is of a high level, and we're not certain that we're l'shem Shemayim, then it's better not to do it. If it's a basic mitzvah, all right, that the Gemara says that you should do it even shalei lishma. You should do it even if it's not l'shem Shemayim. If it's a basic mitzvah. But when it comes to undertaking things which are beyond the call of duty, like Naziris, like to forbid upon yourself something that the Torah permitted, you see, it has to be L'Shem Shemayim. And if it's not perfectly L'Shem Shemayim, then it's better you shouldn't do it. Now this was common. This was a common trait amongst the Jewish communities of the past. This was a common trait. You had many, many people that would not assume upon themselves something extra, merely on the premise that they said, this is not for me. If I do it, I don't know if my intent would be totally pure. And those that would assume something extra were the giants of the community, spiritual giants of the community. Not only that, but even when someone who was batuach bi'atzmai, someone who was confident that he could assume something of a very high level and his intent would be totally pure, he always did it, not publicly, he always did it very privately, in order that people should not suspect that he's perhaps doing something which he shouldn't be doing, which is beyond him, which is above him. This was common traits. Unfortunately, this is something that's being lost today. You find people who would be in the klal of pshutim, you know, of simple Jews, and they assume upon themselves all kind of extra precautions that they're very far from, and their intent is very, very far from being total l'shem shemayim. And not only do they assume it upon themselves, but totally publicly, b'farhesha. And this was something which was very far from the Jewish communities of the past. The fact is, I'll give you one example, which I've mentioned in the past. Rav Moshe Feinstein. He writes in a tshuva that someone is speaking to him about a certain whiskey that was blended. It had a blend in it, and there was a certain minute amount of wine that was not kosher. It was a good brand of whiskey that was manufactured, and it had a blend of a wine in it, and this cast a shail on it. And the Ramesh is writing to another Rav, actually the other Rav I believe was Rav Pinchas Teitz from Elizabeth, New Jersey, on this question. And the Ramesh says that according to one opinion in the Gemara, he brings one opinion of the Rishayim, you won't be allowed to drink this wine, but according to two other opinions, you would be allowed to. So therefore he said that if, according to the letter of the law, it would be permissible, but since there is one of the major opinions forbids it, he said, if you can create a hashkocha where this whiskey would be made without that blend, so mate would be very good. And he says, he himself also, he says, because of this, he doesn't drink it. He says, except, he says, if I'm in shul, or if I'm at a simcha, and they're serving it, and they're making a lachaim, so in order not to abstain from the simcha, and not to be mechseh ki yehura, he says, in order not to look like a yehura, the Gemara says, a person must be careful not to do something that looks beyond him, otherwise it looks like he's trying to show off. It's geus, he says, in order not to be mechseh ki yehura, he says, I drink a little bit. This is what Rav Moshe Feinstein said upon himself, who at that time was one of the leaders of the generation. In other words, he says, look, I don't drink it, because it's a shaila. The basic halacha, he says, is permissible, but there are still those that ask it, so therefore I don't drink it. But, he says, rather than make a scene, a whole scene, and not be part of the simcha to give a lechaim, he says, no, then I'll drink it. I don't want to be spoil someone's simcha, or to be mechseh ki yehora, or look like I'm doing something. The Gemara uses a expression for this, misatef betalisa shel gedelim. Like I'm putting on a talis that belongs to someone who's greater than me. And this was simple anoga. But tragically, it's been totally forgotten. You have posher Jews that are doing things. In other words, Rav Moshe was machmer al atzma. He assumed a chumra not to drink it, but only betzina, only privately. He wouldn't do it publicly. So that's that principle we see from Shimon HaTzadik. That to be a nozir, you have to be in the level to be a nozir. It's not given for everyone. When he saw this person, he said, "Bni, kein yirbu nazirais be Israel. There should be more nazirim like you be Israel." But for a regular person to become a nozir, he won't come near the korbanos, he won't eat from them. See? This is what Shimon HaTzadik said. So that's one principle that we learn from here. The second principle that we learn from here, that it's not good to abstain from that which the Torah permitted. And that's why the other said that the nozir was a chetah. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos, in Perek Gimel. The Rambam says, Shema yemer odom ha'il va'akina va'atayve va'akovit ikiyetze bem derech rohin u'meitzinus odom min ha'ilam. Perhaps a person will say that since kina, jealousy, and taiva, physical desires, covet, quest for honor and glory, since they are so wicked, they bring a person into all kind of troubles, jealousy and physical desires and quest for honor and glory, And our sages teach us, Meitzines Odom Min HaOlam, they will drive a person out from the world. Efresh Men B'Yosef Yisrachik L'Tzaro Achrei. Perhaps a person will say, if that's the case, then I will distance myself from this to the ultimate, to the extreme. Actually, Yechel Boser, I won't eat any meat. V'lo Yishti Yain, and I will never drink wine. V'lo Yisho Isha, I'll never get married. V'lo Yishti B'dir Noah, and I'll never live in a nice home. V'lo Yilbash Malbush Noah, and I will not buy nice clothing, because if I buy nice clothing, so then it brings a person to kina, to jealousy, and it brings him to gaiva, and geus. El asak, I'll get sackcloth. V'hatzemer akosha, and I'll get heavy coarse wool. K'yetzben, k'gain kahani oivdi kechovim. Now all of these things we mentioned are not remote, because this was the kahani oivdi kechovim. This is how the priests, the idolatrous priests, lived. If you go in the Himalayas by the monks, and you'll see this. So the Rambam says, "Gamze derech rohi." This also is a wicked way. But also lelechpo, and a Jew is forbidden to walk in this way. Amahalef bederech zu nikrochaita. Someone who walks in this way is called a chaita, a sinner. What is the proof? Where is the source? From Nozer. Shaharei hu aimer benozer, because by the Nozer it states v'chiper olam me'asher chotra ala nefesh. He has to atone for what he sinned. Now, what sin did the Nozer do? Omru chachomim umayim Nozer shalei pirish ele min hayayin. The sages say that the Nozer abstained only from wine, tzorech kapora, and he needs a atonement. Hamenei atzmi mikol dover alachis kam v'kama. So someone who abstains from everything, or from anything, so how much more so? And therefore the Chachomim commanded that a person should not abstain except from that which the Torah has forbidden us. But what the Torah has permitted us to partake from, we should partake from. And he should not make Nidrei Isra. Nidrei Isa, Nedorim, and Shfuais, vows which forbid things upon himself. Kachomru Chachomim, this is what the Chachomim said, Leidayachom Ashwasr Teire, El Shato, Esa Lechot Vorim Acherim. It's not enough that you are forbidding that what the Torah forbade on you, and you have to add to the Torah and forbid more. Ubechlal Hazeh Elu Shemizanin Tomit. Inclusive in this are those that always fast. He says this is not a good way. The sages forbade us to afflict ourselves with extra fast days. And on this, Shlema Melech, King Solomon, commanded and said, Al tiyat tzadik harbe. Person should be a tzadik, he should be righteous, but he should not be too righteous. This is possible for a person to be too righteous. And Shlema Melech said, Al tiyatzadik harbe. Do not be too righteous, Al tischachem yeser. And do not be too wise. A person is supposed to be a chochem, but not too wise. Lomet tishemem. Otherwise, you will become totally desolate. You will isolate yourself and become totally desolate. So, see, here we have this principle, a second principle. That in general, it's not a derech tova, it's not the way of the Torah to abstain from more than the Torah forbade. What the Torah forbade, yes, but more not. And if yes, then is a chayta. So when then is there a time for this? If a person is kula l'shem shemayim, if a person is on that level, and he's totally the Shem Shemayim, or if it's a Shasat HaGodl, if a person is going through a very strenuous situation, or Tesis brings, which we'll bring in a minute in regards to Nedorim, Eis Sora, if it's a time of great danger, for example, if a person would find that he's falling into the hands of the Yetzer Hara, and he cannot release himself from it. If you have super extraneous situations, then Nezirus can be a mitzvah. But otherwise, a person must be very careful. Now, we mentioned that in regards here to Nezirus, firstly, he's forbidding upon himself what is permissible, an extra dimension of abstinence. Secondly, he's doing it through a neder, through a vow. In regards to doing something through a vow, we have what is called, in general, a person must be very, very careful about taking upon himself nedarim ushvuos. The severity of a shvuah, to take an oath in the name of Hashem, or a vow, a neder, in the name of Hashem, is from the most severe averes in the Torah. We'll see this in a minute. We'll see the source for it. But in the old times, in the communities of past again, a Jew was terrified. A Jew was terrified by a shvuah or by a neder. He was simply terrified. It was known to all that there were many, many cases where a Jew was called to court, like he had a dispute with a non-Jew, and he was called to court, and he would have to swear, and it was 100% true what he was saying. But he would rather lose the money than take a shvuah. Now, there's nothing wrong with that shvuah. Torah says that you're not allowed to nishba l'sheker, you're not allowed to take a shvuah in the name of Hashem, l'sheker, a false shvuah. But a shvuah which is emes, there's nothing wrong with that. But it was common. The Jews, they were so terrified from a shvuah, that even to take a shvuah that was true, they would rather forego it and lose all of the money. Tosfos brings that one of these, this is one of the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. And Tosfos brings from the Nizdazdeya Kol Ha'elam Kula, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you shall not swear by my name Lashov in vain, Nizdazdeya Kol Ha'elam Kula, the whole world shook, the whole world trembled. So therefore we find also in the Gemaras and the Chazals that when one would make a neder, he must be very, very careful. He must be very careful. Here also, today, you find many times that people come and they want to be matir nedarim, they want to annul nedarim that they have taken upon themselves. They took a neder for this reason or for that reason. People should not get involved in nedarim. They should stay away from nedarim as far as possible. And this was always the way. Only under extraordinary circumstances would a person make a neder. Unfortunately today, many times you have people, they seem to be making nedarim right and left. The Gemara in Nedarim Daf Tes, the Gemara brings that the Meir is a shail in the Gemara. Gemara says, what's better? It's one is if you make a neder to do something and you don't do it, that's very bad. But if you make a neder to do something and you do it, that's good. The mayor comes along and says, Tev mi zeh umi zeh. Is lein altido kol ikur. Better than both cases is don't make any nedarim. Better than making a neder and not fulfilling it, or making a neder and fulfilling it, better than both cases, don't make any nedarim. And this is how we paskin. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Shvuos Rambam brings in Hilchos Shavuos, the last perek, perek Yud Beis, he says, even if somebody makes a shvuah, an oath which is not true, and even though he will accept the punishment, which is malchus, the corporal punishment in Bezdin, or a korban, a sacrifice, ein mischapel lehen oven shvuah kula, but he will not be able to atone from that shvuah entirely. Shenema leinake Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he will never forgive that person for using his name in vain. Ein lezen nikoyin midin shamayim, he will never be clean from heaven until Hashem will take revenge from that person who has desecrated his great name. Because when you swear by my name and it's not totally true, then you have desecrated my name. Therefore, the Rambam says a person must be careful in shvuos, in oaths, more than all other averus. Oven ze min hachamures. This avera is from the severe averus of the Torah, like we have explained in Hilchos Tshuva. Afal pi shein bei leikedus v'le mishes bezdin. Even though it does not carry with it kodesh, it does not carry with it capital punishment, but yesh bei chil Hashem hamakudesh. But you have desecrated the name of Hashem. Shehu godl mikol avenis, and to desecrate the name of Hashem is the greatest avera. Then the Rambam brings, he says, ketanim shel nishbu. If a cotton swears, a minor swears, and they understand, they know what they swore to, even though according to the Torah they do not have to fulfill the oath because they're minors, but you must force him to keep it, kidei lechanchon, in order to ulaayim aleihem, in order that you should educate them, that they should know what it means, a shvua, and they should not be kalisraish, they should not be light-headed when it comes to an oath. And if it's something that the cotton could not do, he undertakes to do something, and it's something which is dangerous for him to do, for example, he undertakes to fast or not to eat meat for a long time, maka yisei aviv v'rabbi, the father of the Rebbe is obligated to give him a hiding, the geyer boy, and to chastise him, umarin leishuut shvuasik deishle yerogel, and he's mechuyev to have shvuas, and nedarim can be annulled by bezdin. So even though a cotton shvu, a minor shvu, does not have to be annulled, you're obligated to take him to a bezdin and have it annulled to teach him what a shvu is. Tzorech lehazir b'ktanim harbe, you must be very careful with children, lamed lishenim divrei emes, and to teach them to speak the truth. Belei shvuah, that they should learn how to speak the truth without making shvuas. Kedei shelo yeragilim lishovei tomid ke'akum, so they shouldn't be like idolaters who constantly are swearing. V'zeh hadover kemeicheiv al aviseihem v'amalam litinekes, and this is an obligation on their fathers and on the malam litinekes, on the teachers of children. Then the Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Nedarim, end of Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Yud Gimel, the Rambam says, Misha not a Nedarim, someone who takes upon himself Nedarim, vows, Kedei Lechenen Dei Esav, Lusakin Maisav, in order to perfect his ways. This the Gemara praises. Ketzat, for example, Misho Hayezelel, someone who was a glutton, Someone who is a glutton. And the only way he could stop himself from eating is by taking an eder, a vow, that he will not eat meat for a year or 2 years. Or Misho Yeshege B'yayin, or someone was an alcoholic. He was always getting drunk on wine. And the only way he could get himself from stop drinking wine was the Osi Yayin Alatzmi Zaman Meruba. He took a vow that he will not drink wine for a long time. Or Ashikras Leilam, or for example, he will never get drunk. Or someone who was Reidiv Shalmuni Veniva Lahain, someone who had a great desire for money and for gifts. Always wanted to take gifts and wanted money that belonged to other people. So therefore he Osir Asma Amatonis. He takes a vow that he will not accept gifts from anyone. Or Hanoz Anshi Medina Zuh, he will not accept favors from anyone. Or Shaman who is Mizgor B'yefer, someone who became very arrogant because of his beauty. And he took on a vow of Nazirus. Kulan Derech Aveda L'Shemhem. They are all service to Hashem. And that's what the Chachomim said, Nedorim Siv L'Prishus. That Nedorim can become a great tool to guard a person and to discipline a person. But Va'afal Pishein Avoda, but even though this is an avodah l'Hashem, this is a service to Hashem, lo yarbe odom benidre iser, a person should not get involved in the dorim, lo yargil atzmai behem, he shouldn't become accustomed to them. El yifreish midvorim sherei lifreish mehen belei neder, and it would be better, much better, if a person would abstain from what one should abstain from without a neder. Omru Chachomim, because the sages said, Kol Haneder Ki Lebon Abomo. Whoever takes a vow, it's as if he's building a foreign altar. Because now he has to serve the vow. V'mova v'noda mitzvah lishalom nidre. If he was ova v'nodar, it's a mitzvah lishalom nidre. If he did make such a neder, it's a mitzvah to get it annulled. Even by where it's a stalker, for example, the Mechaber even brings in Yoredeya, in the beginning of Hilchos Nedarim in Yoredeya, in Reish Gimel, Simon Reish Gimel, Siv Dalid. The Mechaber even says that afilat stoker in teiv lidor. Even when it comes to stoker, it's good not to make nedorim. But you should give it. If you have it, give it. If you don't have it, then wait till you have it. Because of the heimer haneder. Now on that halacha, there's achreinim that bring that the Rashba says that for the sake of the anim, it's a mitzvah to make a neder. For the sake of giving money to the poor, it's a mitzvah to make a neder, because many people, if they weren't bound by their pledge, they wouldn't give. So therefore it's a mitzvah. And the other achreinim bring that if it's in public, and by you committing yourself to give such and such amount to the poor or to a worthy cause, it will influence others to do it, then it's a mitzvah to do it. So then you should do it. That's why we have a minig where we make nedorim. See? But even then they have to look for extra reasons. I said, because if you won't do it, the aniyim will lose, the worthy causes and the poor will lose, because people won't give. They're going to wait till they have. Now, if they pledge, then they'll give. Or when one pledges, others follow. See? So the achreinim bring, therefore you should do it. But even that is only, even then they have to look for special reasons why you should do it. So here we see, in regards to the aspect of binding yourself with nedarim, that's also something that a person has to be very cautious with. In summation, in regards to what we're speaking, we have four principles.
for a person to abstain from that what is good for a person, that's a chayta, that he's not allowed to do. For a person to abstain from that which we call meisres, that which a person doesn't need, for example, the Torah permitted you to eat, drink wine and eat meat, but to eat too much meat or to drink too much wine, okay, that's something that's even that it's not good for you. Now that's a mitzvah, that's the greatest mitzvah to abstain from, but he should do it without nedarim. If a person sees that he's falling into the hands of the Yetzer Hara, where he no longer can control himself, he feels he's losing and he no longer can control the situation, then, or if it's a very extraordinary situation, for example, Tosfos brings Yaakov Avinu made Nedarim, but it was an Eis Sora. See, it was a time of danger. If it's an extraordinary situation, then it's a mitzvah in those situations to abstain. But if possible, it's better to do it also without nedarim. And the same thing, to undertake to do a mitzvah, not only to abstain, but to undertake to do mitzvahs, that a person is not capable of doing it without an extra help. So there it's brought that a person also can make nedarim, but it's brought, it would be better though, much better, to do it without an nedarim. So these are the principles that we have. So this is what we can learn from the parshas and Nozir in relation to our times. And as we mentioned, this has to do with a person, where a person is ase tev, he has to do what's good, and at the same time be very careful to control himself, to discipline himself, where he should distance himself from that which might be destructive. And these principles are what we learn from this parshas of Nozir.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.